Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hello, all you Turnbuckle Turmoil fans. This is QT Vokes coming at you with another edition of Turnbuckle Turmoil. Sign Guy is on the road today. He's going down to Roseburg, Oregon on special assignment, may I add, where he's going to don the zebra stripes and rep a few matches. Today, we have Ryan Rude back with us on the Turnbuckle Turmoil show. This Ryan Rude, Mr. Ryan Rude, was a former member of Pure Dominance. I'm sure that rings a bell with a lot of Northwest fans. And it looks like we also have an extra caller already, or this might be Sign Guy. Sign Guy, are you with us?
I am with you.
Oh, okay. I didn't quite recognize the other area code. Can you tell us where you're at right now on your trip to Roseburg? Are you there yet? And have you had an extra large coffee?
I've had the extra large coffee. I made it to Roseburg, and I am at the Power Pit Pro Wrestling Performance Center, where in a couple hours, Power Pit Pro Wrestling will be. And, of course, don't forget, QT, I'll be back tomorrow in Vaughan, Washington, at the Civic Center for Northwestboro.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I will also be at Vaughan, Washington. And if you want to start out the questions, Sign Guy, I have one more to jot down myself. Would you like to start out with Ryan Rude?
Absolutely. Ryan, are you ready for this?
Let's do it, Sign Guy.
All right. Well, you told me going into this that you had some Iron Buddha level shocking news. We know you've been out for a while. The fans haven't seen you in the ring for a bit, but you have some shocking news. Let's hear it.
I do. So I had arthroscopic knee surgery last Tuesday. Stitches came out yesterday. And I start physical therapy here next week. After that, doctors give me about 3-4 months before I can start training. I have a trainer lined up. I'm going to go and train with Ethan HD in Seattle. And then hopefully shortly thereafter, I will be making my return to the ring.
Fantastic news. So we're going to see the return of Ryan Rude in the ring roughly end of the summer?
End of the summer, beginning of fall, somewhere in there, hopefully. And, get back in the ring and start, doing what I love.
Well, for the fans that have followed you, we know you wrestled all over the West Coast here in Washington and Oregon.
And California.
To my knowledge, and California. And to my knowledge, you haven't faced off with Ethan HD. What made you decide that he was going to be the proper guy to get you back into ring condition?
Well, I mean, you got to look at what Ethan HD has done recently. Ethan has gone over to India and was the head trainer over at Great Khali School. And then he came back for a short while, and then he went to New Zealand and trained at Bad Luck Fale's gym in New Zealand. So those are two pretty big names. Khali with WWE and Bad Luck Fale with New Japan. And if he's big enough for them to bring him in to go work at their dojos, I figure that's one hell of a guy to train me. So
I would concur with that. Now, for the fans that I missed it, and they're wondering exactly what happened. Could you describe the nature of the injury that's taken you out and a little bit about what you've gone through to get to this point?
So, actually, the original knee injury happened probably 6 years ago when I was still in the Navy. I noticed my knee kept locking on me. Finally got out of the military, and the VA did an MRI and realized that I had a meniscal tear on my left knee, which was causing all the locking in my knee. They went in and tried to repair it. A few months after that, I felt a pop in my left knee, and it started causing me a lot of pain. I went back and had an MRI done, and they realized that the repair failed. So I went in and had surgery last week, and now I'm back on my road to recovery. Hopefully no more knee issues for a little bit.
Hopefully that will hold, because knee injuries are not the greatest things. But as a veteran of the sign of the times, you know from that program, club out there called Team Bad Knees, none of the members
exactly.
have a good knee. Have you put in your application with Troy Miller to join Team Bad Knees?
I have not yet.
I think you need to do that. I think you need to get a hold of Troy Miller and submit an application and become a member of Team Bad Knees.
I will do that. Is he on Twitter so I can look him up after I get off the phone with you guys?
He is. He is on the Twitter.
Awesome.
When you were active, you were part of a faction called Pure Dominance. Pure Dominance in a state of flux right now. They look to not be active as a group, but they have done that before and then reassembled and came back. Can you tell us if you know anything on the current status of Pure Dominance?
Last time I talked to me and Mark, he was recovering from an injury he had received in a car accident. So he was taking some time off to heal from that. I have not talked to Sonny lately. I saw that you did a Sign of the Times with him.
Indeed.
And I unfortunately didn't get a chance to watch it, but it's on my list to do. And
so
then I saw
you're a few episodes behind on the Sign of the Times.
That is correct.
Well, hopefully Sonny doesn't yell at you over that.
Right. And then Rad is still in the military, so I think Pure Dominance has gone back down to 3 members. That's if the King doesn't come back to Pure Dominance as well.
Has there been any discussions that you can disclose on when you get back, sliding you right back into Pure Dominance?
There hasn't been any discussions about that. I really don't have a tentative time on when I'm going to return to the ring, so everything's kind of set for soft dates currently.
Pure Dominance, when they're active, seem to be pretty good merchandise people. They've had T-shirts and stickers and so forth out there. Seems to be popular amongst the fans that want to buy merchandise. You, of course, were a part of Pure Dominance. They were selling the shirts when you were with them. How's the merchandise money for Pure Dominance? Do you get pretty good royalties on that?
I'm not going to say it's terrible, but it's pretty decent.
To my knowledge, I can't recall seeing individual Ryan Rude merchandise on any merchandise tables. Is there any Ryan Root merchandise out there that you've been saving? And when the return happens, do you have the plans in place to maybe market that a little more?
There is some leftover merchandise from Ryan Root. I did have T-shirts and 8x10s. I do have a few T-shirts left. But the entire look of Ryan Rude is getting a complete makeover.
Whoa.
One of the biggest makeovers in the history of wrestling was when Adrian Adonis transformed himself into Adorable. A little nod and a wink. Are we going to see Adorable Ryan Rude?
Go the other way from Adorable to the almost the biker gimmick.
Gotcha, oh. Okay.
Ryan Rude is going to be a lot darker and more of my personality turned up.
When you've been in the business as long as you have been, and you've been in for a good amount of time now, sometimes you pick up those rivals that sort of define your career. You wrestle them time and time and time again. You kind of get linked to that person in the minds of the fans. If you had to pick someone that was that person for you, that person that you have wrestled and sort of wrestled the most and had the most rivalry with, who would that be in your opinion?
Well, when I was a babyface, it was Chef as Mean Mark. Not only did he train me, I've had some of my best matches with Chef. Other than that, Ian Bear. We had a pretty long feud going on in SCW there for a while.
One of the bigger controversial aspects of wrestling right now seems to be a matter of blood. A lot of people feel that blood shouldn't be allowed in wrestling matches in 2020 just because of what we have learned in medical science. But a lot of people still think that there is a definite time and place for blood. A lot of people still hold true to the old school beliefs that there's room for blood in almost every match. Where do you personally stand on the issue of blood as it relates to wrestling in 2020?
It has a time and a place. If there is a cage match, I think that there should be at least a little bit of blood. And I'm of the mindset of a cage match should be the final blow-off match. And it, you know, at that point is when everything kind of breaks down. And that's when you go for it all. And at that point in time, I do believe blood should be allowed. I'm not as much as I love old ECW and FMW, as Bruce Prichard said last week, that FMW was gore for gore's sake. And it kind of overdoes it, because then people tend to, anytime they see blood, it's kind of one of those, it's a normal. But if it's when it calls for it, it gets people more interested into the match, if that makes any sense.
It does, for sure. Here in the Northwest, we've seen a lot more people come out of our area and get to a national stage in the last couple of years than we had previously. Northwest a little bit more isolated as far as mainstream wrestling when compared to the Northeast or the Southeast part of the country. But we've seen people like Darby Allin from the Buddy Wayne Academy and Aubrey Edwards from 321 Battle, and to a lesser extent, Ethan HD, who's gone to India, like you said, and to Thailand and all these places to train.
Well, don't forget Jack Evans, trained by Mark.
Yes, Jack Evans, formerly of Ring of Honor. Davey Richards, of course, at one point, national name. But we've seen more recently than we had in probably 10 years ago since we saw Jack Evans and Davey Richards coming up. What do you think attributes to the success of the Northwest right now, where wrestling seems to be hotter than it has been in a very long time?
Honestly, I think Defy is the key element to more and more names out of the Northwest being picked up. If you look at Defy's history with the bigger names that they bring in, it allows those bigger names to put eyes on our local talent. Guys like Randy Myers is killing it in Defy. Shaff is killing it in Defy. And I think those are names that will be called up in a matter of time. I was talking to Ethan at Wrestling Trivia that is at the Red Hot in Tacoma every Monday night now. Little teapot there for Ethan and the Red Hot. But we were talking, and Shaft's only been in the business for 3 years now, and he's already doing amazing work, working with Defy and then PCW down in California. So I think those eyes that the bigger name talents bring helps the Northwest so much more.
So you're right. And also the guys at 321, also kind of a sister promotion of Defy in a way. Those guys also doing big things and bringing in big names. So I think that is also helping.
Indeed.
I have to get ready for the Power Pit Pro Show here in Roseburg in a little while, so I'm going to put you into the very capable hands of one QT Vokes.
Sounds good, Sign Guy. Tell everyone down at Power Pit I say hello, and most of them know me anyway, so.
I think so. It's my first day, but I'm going to make it a point to tell them that, and I will see you down the road. Hopefully fairly soon.
Hopefully tomorrow. I'm going to try and make it out to Northwest Pro tomorrow.
That is fairly soon. I will see you there. And QT, take it right away.
Well, thank you, Sign Guy. Good luck down there. Yes. Well, Ryan, first of all, I'd like to thank you for your military service in the Navy. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners if you were on any ships?
I was actually on two submarines when I was in. I was attached to the USS Louisiana and the USS Ohio.
Wow. Now, were you a big fan of the movie Down Periscope with Kelsey Grammer?
I was. It's kind of funny because I talk to people and they ask, what's an accurate submarine movie, and they mention all these different
Goss boat.
And U-571 stuff like that, but honestly the closest thing to what actually happens is Down Periscope.
did you have a cook like Buckman?
No, we didn't.
All right. Did you ever have to run silent, and then did your commanding officer make another petty officer make dolphin noises to get out of a jam? Did that ever happen?
No, that never happened either.
Oh, okay. Well, now, Ryan, did any of your crew members on your submarines go into professional wrestling?
No, they didn't. I know a lot of the guys that I served with really supported me. They came to a few shows, you know, but none of them really got into pro wrestling. I tried getting a couple guys brought into it, but they realized that it's a lot tougher than what they actually thought.
Okay. Now, your cooks on board the submarines, did they ever serve sliders?
Yes, they did. That's a Saturday tradition underway. Every Saturday are sliders, and it's the day you look forward to the most.
Wow. Now, did you ever have a chance to stop on the surface and have a barbecue on the steel deck or steel beach?
We never barbecued, but we definitely there was a couple times aboard the Ohio where we surfaced and then we got to jump off the side of the boat and go swimming in the ocean.
Wow, okay. I'm sure you had the gunner's mate on the conning tower or the deck manning a machine gun for sharks.
Yes, of course.
Oh, okay. I only say this, I'm familiar with military service myself. I served in the Coast Guard.
All right. Well, thank you for your service.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. All right. Well, Ryan, can you tell us in a ballpark figure how much Ethan HD can charge for his training services? Because I think Ethan could command quite a bit if he has a resume that has experience under the great Khali. Can you give us a ballpark figure of what he would charge?
I actually haven't talked to him about monetary figures. It's something that, you know, hey, once I get cleared, you know, I want to come start working with you and get back into ring shape. And he said, yeah, come on out. Because I know he runs training at Evolve Fitness on Thursdays, I want to say, in Seattle.
Okay.
Because I know that's where Steve Miggs was trained.
Okay. All right. Wow. Okay. In the heart of Seattle, yes. Holy smokes. Okay. Well, Ryan, did you go through boot camps on the Great Lakes? And if you did, what lessons? Oh, okay. What lessons in boot camp do you think carried over into your ring career?
I'm trying to think. It's more boot camp. It was more of the. I'm trying to think of how to describe this. It was making sure everything was lined up and perfect. So that, you know, it helped with my bookings mostly because it helped make sure I had everything lined up prior to a show. I knew where I was going, what dates I was booked. So I knew I had a clear sight of everything that was going on.
Okay. All right. What was your rate in the Navy? What did you do on board the submarine?
Machinist mate. I worked on everything from our diesel generator, our refrigeration plant, hydraulics, air systems, oxygen systems, sewage systems, atmosphere control, you name it, we, you know, probably played a part in it.
Wow, very good. Very interesting. Okay. All right. Well, Ryan, you told Sign Guy earlier in the show that you may adopt a biker image. Well, as you remember, in Pee-wee's Big Adventure, he knocked over a gang of bikers' bikes at a bar, and he was forced to dance the tequila dance by the champs. And then after this, the bikers accepted him. Are you saying here on the Turnbuckle Turmoil Show that you are going to undergo a Pee-wee Herman influenced by your image that he portrayed in Pee Wee's Big?
Not exactly. It was more in reference of instead of going from dark to the adorable Adrian Adonis, it's kind of going from where Ryan Rood was at when I stopped wrestling, is more of the, you know, brighter gimmick, and it's starting to go darker. So not quite a biker gimmick, but it's getting that dark overhaul to it.
Wow. All right. Okay. Is there any chance that you will be riding down to the ring on a moped like Kurt Angle?
That is a big negative there, Ghost Rider.
Okay. All right. Well, Ryan, you did mention to Sign Guy some of your matches with Chef. I saw on YouTube a match that you had at Northwest Pro Wrestling, and I noticed that this video was posted on January 14, 2015, so it was probably 5-6 years ago. I'm not sure how many times at Northwest Pro you wrestled Chef, but the one I saw was a very good a match. Now, of course, when Chef made his entrance, he was banging on a stock pot with a wooden spoon. Now, have you ever heard of Chef using a spoon that he has used or a stock pot as a foreign object? Because in this match, he didn't use it on you.
He has used that stock pot on me before. We were wrestling at La Pablanita's in Bremerton, and it was a 6-man match, and it was Mean Mark, Sloth, and I believe it was Sonny against Pimp, Dale, and myself, and I got hit in the head with that stock pot. Let me tell you, there is absolutely no give to it.
Oh, yes. As a cook in the Coast Guard, I used a lot of stock pots. And boy, they can be hard. Yes. Holy smokes. Okay. I'm going to say that it was Sonny O'Mara that was on that card with you. Sonny O'Mara.
Yeah. I believe so.
Okay. Well, Ryan, in this YouTube video, at Northwest Pro Wrestling, when you came through the green curtain, the first thing I noticed was the extensive ink work on your left shoulder. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners what those tattoos symbolize, and did you get some of them in the Navy?
Actually, at that point in time, I was still in the Navy. You've actually got me pulling up my shirt and looking at all my ink work on my left arm right now. I've always been the biggest piece on my arm is my Betty Page on my left arm. And I've always been a huge Betty Page fan. And the rest of it is a lot of old school work. And there is a logo from a band from Cleveland called Mushroom Head tattooed on the underside of my arm. But it's all a lot of old school, because I love the old school mentality that the Navy had back in the day, you know, play hard and work hard.
Well, for all you Turnbuckle Turmoil new listeners or young listeners, Betty Page was a pinup girl in World War II and Korea. Very, very popular with the sailors and pretty much our troops. Yes, Betty Page. Okay. Now, were you stationed at Bremerton at the time of this match with Chef Bremerton?
I was actually stationed in Bangor. At Bangor.
Oh, okay.
So just north of Bremerton.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, you said you're originally from Cleveland, Ohio. Did you move from Ohio to the West Coast?
Roundabouts. Went to Great Lakes in Chicago. And then I spent some time in New England and Connecticut for training, and then moved out to the West Coast.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Ryan, in this match with Chef, I noticed on the back of your shirt, it said, "We have nothing to fear but fear itself." Do you know who was the originator of the saying?
That was Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
I think it was Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill.
I could have sworn it was FDR, but.
Oh, all right. Well, that's fine. Now I have a homework assignment myself, a turnbuckle turmoil homework assignment, to see if FDR was the originator of the saying that was on the back of your shirt, or if it was Churchill. Okay. All right. Well, Ryan, speaking of sayings and quotes, do you know the professional wrestler who made this quote? And the quote is, "I forgot how it felt like to have the top of my foot hurt so bad from kicking people in the face."
I don't.
That was the Viper, Randy Orton. Yes. All right. How about this quote? Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I just typed it into my Google machine, the quote, and it was actually from FDR's very first inauguration speech.
Oh, wow. Okay. I stand corrected. Okay. Very good. All right. Thank you for that. Okay. Man, FDR. Okay. All right. Well, Ryan, how about this quote? "Did your parents build a swing that was facing a wall when you were a kid?" Do you know who that professional wrestling quote is from?
I don't.
None other than Roddy Piper.
it sounds like something Piper would say, yes. I was thinking it was either him or Bobby Heenan, because Bobby Heenan would say something like that as well.
Yes, Bobby Heenan, yes. Boy, okay. And the final quote of this quote session is, "I think health-wise, pro wrestling is probably 10 times worse for you than MMA. Can you take a stab at who said that?
Kurt Angle, maybe? I don't know.
CM Punk. CM Punk. Yes. Okay.
I would tend to agree.
All right. Yes, MMA. Okay. All right. Well, Ryan, you slammed Chef's right leg to the mat at the 4 minute and 50 second mark of the match, and then at the 5 minute and 4 second mark, you used all your weight and came down on his left leg. Did you do these two leg attacks to take away his vertical base? Was that your game plan coming into this match?
It was. At that point in time, Chef was using the wonton for his finishing move. And I thought, you know, if I could take out his legs, he wouldn't be able to climb up and hit the wonton. And you could tell as he was climbing up, he was definitely feeling it in his legs.
Yes. Yes. Boy, and you did a number on both his legs. But I did notice at the 8 minute and 21 second mark of the match, while both of your backs were to the referee, you took your thumb and rammed it into Chef's throat area in much the same way as Playboy Buddy Rose did to Rip Oliver during the Portland wrestling days of the late 70s. My question is, were you a big fan of the Playboy Buddy Rose?
I loved Playboy Buddy Rose. Actually, the one who showed me that was Dale Houston. Dale had a lot to do with my training and mentoring as well. And he showed me that.
Okay. Were you ever in a match with Dale where he took out his dentures and bit you with his dentures?
Actually, I was.
Oh!
He would pull out his dentures and grind them into your forehead.
Oh, man. Can you tell us the match that this happened to you with Dale? I couldn't believe what I was seeing at first.
I think it was... I don't remember the exact date of the show, but I do believe we were at the Tribal Center when it happened.
Wow, the Tribal Center. Okay. Were you there at the famous barbecue bash at the Tribal Center way back, I'm going to guess, 13 years ago?
I was not.
Okay. It was a very hot summer day, and someone was at ringside with a megaphone and in a black and red cape and a Lone Ranger mask. I think it was at Northwest Legend Budget Deficit. That's what I heard.
Ah.
Yes. Okay.
No, well, Ryan, I was not there.
Oh, okay. I know Dash Venture was and Lila Lodge. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Well, Ryan, at the 9 minute and 23 second mark of the match, if you freeze the video, you can see that you have your legs on top of and below his left arm, so it is immobilized and straight out to the side, and you also have your left side pinned. He has his left side pinned by your upper body, and you have him in a Chris Benoit type crippler crossface. Were you influenced by Chris Benoit, and do you yourself compete in MMA, or did you compete in a couple years back?
That move was definitely inspired by Chris Benoit. I am one of those people who is able to separate Chris Benoit's time in the ring and the last 72 hours of Chris's life. Wow, this is actually giving me goosebumps. I looked up to him for so long, and just his style reminded me a lot of Dynamite Kid.
Yes.
And just that hard-nosed style of wrestling is what I absolutely love. There's a match floating around with Chris Benoit and Kurt Angle, and it is nothing but grappling for a good 3 minutes. And that's the type of wrestling that I love. And and that's what really influenced me.
Wow,
but I have not competed in MMA. I've trained, but I've never actually competed.
Okay. All right. Very good. Okay. Well, Ryan, at the 10-minute and 8-second mark, you kicked Chef in his left hamstring, and again at the 10:15 mark, you kicked him in the right hamstring above the back of his left knee pad. My question is, have you yourself suffered any hamstring injuries, and has any wrestler purposely attacked your hamstrings in a match as his or her main target?
Actually, I have. I wrestled a match against El Sonico early in his career. And size-wise, I was a lot bigger than Sonico, so he did what he had to do, and You chop down that redwood at the legs, and that's what he did. And I can tell you, those kicks to the back of the hamstrings and quads, those are no joke.
No, they aren't. I'm kind of wondering if someone has used that tactic against the wrestler known as Sasquatch before. Sasquatch, That can't be too much.
I think, honestly, they're all a little bit afraid of him, and when that bell rings, they kind of freeze up.
Yes. I can only hope that Sasquatch will soon be on a sign of the times with Sign Guy. That'd be huge. Sign Guy and yourself
and
Sasquatch. Well, now, Ryan, at the 11-minute and 22-second mark of the match, Chef stepped between the ropes, and it looked like he was going to climb the turnbuckle and launch a high aerial assault on you, but he changed his mind and stepped back into the ring at the 11:27 mark of the match. My question is, who has been your biggest opponent to have come off a turnbuckle and hit you while you were on the mat? Was it indeed Chef himself?
It was.
Ouch. Holy smokes. Okay. Can you tell us the results of this
body? All the other guys that I have wrestled that have come off the turnbuckles have all been, you know, fairly smaller guys. Guys like Patrick Large, El Sonico, Rad, Riley. So all tend to be kind of smaller guys. Chef is the largest guy that has come off. Him and Sloth, actually.
Ooh. Okay. Has C.J. Edwards ever come off the top rope on you? C.J. Edwards.
Actually, I have never wrestled C.J. Edwards in my time that I've wrestled.
Wow. Okay. All right. Holy smokes. That'd be a nice matchup I'd like to see. C.J. Edwards and yourself.
Yeah, I would love to get a chance to wrestle C.J. C.J. is an amazing wrestler.
Wow, okay. All right. Well, Ryan, have you ever been asked by Roy Lovejoy to be a special guest referee in a match involving Tyson Stewart and Randy the Pimp Taylor? Can you confirm this?
I'm trying to think. He might have. I can't say for sure.
Well, I'm going to say that there was a 99% probability due to my research. I think that actually happened. Yeah. Yeah. Roy Lovejoy. Okay. All right. Well, Ryan, you went to Edgewood High School. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners who the mascot of Edgewood High School was? The mascot.
The Edgewood High School mascot was the Warrior.
Oh, okay, Warrior. Okay.
No, unfortunately, we didn't have anyone running around snarling and saying, you know, fuel the rocket ship with rocket fuel and running around like crazy. No.
All right. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners what your school colors were?
Scarlet and gray.
Okay, scarlet and gray. I ask you this because I'm keeping a logbook of our interviewers' high school and high school colors. For what purpose, I'm not quite sure, but I keep it anyway. Maybe it'll be when Sign Guy and I go into the Hall of Fame. Yes.
Oh, there you go.
And once again, it was scarlet and gray?
That is correct.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, Ryan, we've come to the part of the show where I have to go because I've got my shoot job at 4. Thank goodness I do have a shoot job so I can finance myself to go out to wrestling events, and hopefully I will see you tomorrow night there in Vaughan, Washington. And at this time, if you want to promote anything, your favorite sponge cake, your favorite Ultimate Warrior video, the floor is all yours.
I want to give one last shout out to Destiny City Comics that is run by Ethan HD. and wrestling trivia every Monday night at 8 o'clock at the Red Hot in Tacoma, Washington.
Okay. All right. Can they, Brian, can our Turnbuckle Turmoil fans reach you by Twitter?
No, I am not on Twitter. I deactivated my account. But I will, I'm getting ready to start up a new Twitter, and I will reach out to sign guys so that fans can get a hold of me through Twitter.
Wow, fantastic. All right. Well, Ryan, it's been a pleasure. Hopefully I'll see you tomorrow. And I hope that your meniscus surgery recuperation goes faster than normal. And hopefully I will see you in action near Thanksgiving. And maybe even before then, you will be ranked the number one wrestler on the Turnbuckle Turmoil Northwest Wrestler Rankings. And thus, you can get that coveted fruit pie.
I'm hoping for it.
All right. Well, thank you, Ryan, and good luck. And fans, stay tuned on Sunday, where I conveniently forgot who we're going to interview. But you can check us out on the Turnbuckle Turmoil Facebook page and see who. Okay. Thank you, Ryan. Yes.
Thank you, QC.
Okay.
I am the stone that the builder refused. I am the visual, the inspiration that made ladies sing the blues. I'm the spark that makes your idea bright. The same spark that I am the stone that the builder refused. I am the visual, the inspiration that made ladies sing the blues. I'm the spark that makes your idea bright.